Get all up in your face. I know you got to live, you know I got mine. But there's like 50 other dudes holding on the phone line. Your voice will be heard, sir.
Next caller, please.
And if I don't concur, we can agree to disagree.
We're talking fantasy, sports, and politics.
FSP, proudly in the place to be. Alongside me is my co-host JT ATM Money. JT, what's going on, brother?
Nothing but to getting paid again.
Not gonna happen. Just like your nothing but getting paid Jackie Chan post, which is totally false. Your pipe dream of getting paid again will not happen. Just to let you know.
What post you talking about?
Put that out there. I don't know. Yeah, you must have got hacked on Facebook because you posted that Jackie Chan was killed today shooting Rush Hour 5.
No. Yeah, I must have gotten hacked because I've been seeing things like that on Facebook, and I know I didn't post them.
Yeah, okay. All right. I mean, dementia can be a sad thing. I'm saying you don't want to admit it, but anyway.
No. I'll admit it. Trust me. I'm a straight up guy here. You know, I'll admit it if I'm the one that did it, but I didn't do it.
All right. Well, anyway, I'm going to the Maryland Terps West Virginia game right after the show. So, we're gonna get straight to the point and rock this funky joint and do week three. Unless there's something you want to talk about briefly. That's going on in the world of sports. I think we got Ricky on hold. He didn't pop up like he wanted to ask a question, so I'm not bringing him on. Anything you want to talk about before we jump into these picks for the week?
Crazy T. Rich pick trade, man.
Well, I know. I was going to get to that when we got to the Indianapolis deal.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
But, I mean, no, we can talk about it now because we can get to that and talk about that game. Well, you know what? Since Rick has Richardson on his team and he's like championship rings now and all this, I'll bring him on. Let him be a part of the conversation. Rick, what's going on?
Why you gotta mute me, dog? What's that about? You said, you know, I just give you your. You did mute me because I heard the dude when he came and said unmuted. That's the dead giveaway, right?
I didn't mute you. I didn't mute you because I never picked up the line. In hold, you never hit one.
It's okay. I can easily just give you your $25 back, but that would take the fun out of taking the money from you. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, Rick.
No.
Rick,
yeah.
Give him the $25 because he's going. That's a quarter of what he's going to be giving to me next week. So go right ahead.
Hey, for Jerry. Real, Jerry?
This,
for real?
Jerry.
Hold on.
Hey,
first
Jerry,
of all,
this
about,
money is going to pay.
Both of y'all are getting muted. All right, check this out. Since y'all want to play that Victor's giving money away game, Victor's not giving away money. What's happening is y'all are winning by the skins of your teeth. Ricky got his butt whooped last week, but just so happens he narrowly won our Yahoo match. And that, I wanted to talk about that too. So let's keep it on that level. I don't want to get off in tangents today. Can we agree to that, gentlemen? I'm going to bring you back. I'm going to bring you back. So let's just keep it like that. All right.
Vic. I just want to
like
this out
you
there.
This, Vic. Well, I'm going to do an Al Davis on you. How's that? I'm
going to
do an Al Davis on you. How's that?
You're going to die? That's sad.
You know what Al Davis is?
You
know what
Al
Davis
is?
You know what Al Davis is? Yeah, but his legacy still lives on. You know what an Al Davis is?
Just win, baby.
Thank you, Rick.
Listen. There's two things you got to understand. Two things both of you guys got to understand before we get into this stuff. One, Jerry, You won. Congratulations. You're going to get thrashed this week, just like you did last week. Because, of course, you didn't make a wager on the other games we had because you were afraid. And I understand
This is how it panned out, Vic. You decided. You brought it up. This is what I wanted to do. You wanted to wager in one league. I said, okay, no problem. And then you went on a couple days after that, and you say, well, I got a good shot of winning at least one of these things, so how about let's put another wager up? I said, no. We'll wager on this one, and then go forward from there. And then you try to suggest my manhood. My manhood wasn't up to par because I wouldn't accept the other two wagers. Which, in fact, if I did, I still would have come out on top because I beat you 2 out of 3 of those.
Which is fine, but you were scared. But you weren't man enough to take the deal because it was all or nothing. But we did one, but that's fine. That's dead and gone. Rick and I split last week. The week before Rick won. He's going to lose the next time we play. You're losing this week. Van already lost. He can't pay me today because he doesn't have a vehicle. He's going to lose tomorrow as well. He's going to lose tomorrow. And then next week, I'm going to take all y'all's money. So it's okay. But let's move on.
Hey, Jerry.
What we're here for. Y'all both going to get muted. Let's talk about... I love having control of the board. I really do. Let's talk about this trade, okay? Let's move on to the trade. Trent Richardson's going to the Colts for a first-round pick next year. Now, Mike Holmgren came out and said that if they came to him with that, he would have said, I'm not doing it, fire me, da-da-da-da-da. I don't know if Mike Holmgren actually did it, but Mike Holmgren is one who actually drafted Trent Richardson and was trying to build a franchise there. And he started off with getting a great back. Unfortunately, he left last year, and a new GM came in with a new owner, and they decided to, after 2 games into the season, well, we're going to just go ahead and go with a different quarterback. We're going to trade our running back. Our back receiver comes back this week, coincidentally. So that kind of sucks. We have a great tight end. We have a great defense. But you know what? We want to get a top 3 pick next year, so we're going to tank the season. Now they're going to have two picks in the top 10 next year, apparently.
What? Why do you say they're going to have 2 picks in the top 10?
It's not going
to
be top 10.
I'm getting to that. Even though I know Trent Richardson is going to the Colts offensive line is worse than the Cleveland Brown offensive line. Granted, Andrew Luck is head and shoulders above Brandon Whedon. The defense is worse, and you can't debate that. And if you want to say the offensive line is not, then apparently you're not listening to the owner of the team, who says the offensive line needs to play better. So if you're debating that, you're obviously not listening to what the owner is saying. He's in a situation where they're going to try to run the ball. The line is not built for the run. It's much like the Miami Dolphins when they made the transition from Don Shula to Jimmy Johnson, where that line was built to protect Dan Marino and pass the ball. It wasn't built to run the ball. I don't think the Colts are going to be. They're not going to be a top team this year, and I said that early on in the summer. The trade is a good trade for them. Don't get me wrong. It's a good trade because they're going to get impact now. They have 2 of the top 3 picks from last year on their team that can work well together once they fix the offensive line and once they fix their defensive line and their defense, they'll be able to use him more effectively. He's a hammer. Their team's not designed to hammer the ball. That's what I'm getting to. They're going to find out this Sunday when they play the 49ers that, Trent's a great runner, but if Alden Smith or Justin Smith or Navarro Bowman's in the backfield every other snap, he's not going to get much traction. And that's the bottom line. I like the deal, I just think they need to add line power around both Luck and Trent Richardson. I'm going to let Ricky go, and then I'm going to let Jerry go.
Okay. Name, and I'm asking you this, because I think Jerry knows the answer, but at the same time, I'm asking you. Name the last running back from Stanford that came out of the draft. Who?
It was Toby Gerhart, because last year the Stanford running back didn't come out yet.
Okay, so where's Toby at?
Toby's in Minnesota backing up Adrian Peterson.
Right, so he hasn't seen the field as much. Now, Toby Gerhart is a big...
Yes,
he has. I said as much. Listen to what I'm saying now. So, Toby Gerhart's a big back, right? Stanford, and they're running the Stanford offense. Stanford didn't have a great offensive line, but they had a middle of the road type of offensive line.
Are you kidding me?
They had a middle of the road.
Really?
Huh?
Because if I'm not mistaken, I think their offensive tackle was a first round draft pick. Their tight end was a first round draft pick.
Line. We're talking about the whole line. We're talking about the offensive line now. We're not talking about individual players. You can get a guard, a tackle, and build a line. We're talking about the whole line. What I'm getting at is the Colts don't have a sorry offensive line. They have an offensive line that can sustain a rush, but they never had a back that could catch the blitz. Trent Richardson is the back that can catch the blitz. That's why they picked
him. Edgerrin James,
We're talking about now and last year. We're not talking about Peyton days. Bradshaw was coming off an injury. He just got there.
Oh,
so we're talking about last year and we're talking about now. You see what I'm saying? Their line from last year to now is better, but it's not good enough for a number one pick. So you do need to have that much help. You just lost the
line. I'm not talking about last year.
Vic, if you wait, he's trying to put it together for you. He's breaking it down and trying to put it together.
From last year to now, they have progressed. You just lost Dwayne Allen. So because you lost Dwayne Allen, who was a good blocking tight end, because Kobe Fleener can block, but he wasn't Dwayne Allen. They had a lot of stock in Dwayne Allen. You have to have somebody that's going to be able to pick that blitz up, which they went and got Trent Richardson. Everybody knows Bradshaw has his days where he's not going to play. So when Bradshaw's not there, who do you have left? Donald Brown? You can't count on him. And Vic Dowell's gone. So you go get Trent Richardson, who can get the blitz pickup, plus he can run the ball. They said it also. These two teams, the 49ers and the Colts, they're mirror images of each other as far as offense goes. Defense, we know the 49ers have a way better defense. And it's going to make it all that much more interesting because there's no LeRon Landry tomorrow. He's out. That's already given. So by them getting Trent, and this is a good trade for the Colts. It was bad for Cleveland, but I still don't think they chased the season. You know what I'm saying? They do have strategy behind it. But this was great for the Colts because now you have two people that are established, just like RG3 and Alfred Morris. They're going to be there for a while. So they're going to have time to mesh and learn each other. By no means are they not going to be in the playoffs again. They're going to make the playoffs again this year and probably win the division.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I think they can win the division with this. I seriously do.
Okay.
Hey, you have to recall that Houston is in that division, and in my opinion, there is no way that Indianapolis is going to be able to beat that Houston for the division. In my opinion.
Houston just it's something about when they get around game 7 and 8, they just Oh, no. Houston is – I'm not saying Houston can't do it because Houston is by far the epitome. They're the elite of that division. But at the same time, yo, unless the Colts make another drastic move, and from a fan standpoint, I love the fact that they did it because I looked at it. I was like, yo, the last time we seen a blockbuster trade like this, in my eyes anyway, was when they threw Clinton Portis out there for Champ Bailey. Even though, you know what I'm saying, it's just two big names that came out there. Nobody ever suspected that with Trent Richardson. So I was just ecstatic. I don't care if he's on my team or not, because I already had Trent Richardson doing big things. He's probably going to get an extra bump in yards because of Andrew Luck's threat.
Uh-huh.
Go Victor? Ahead, Jerry. I'm waiting on you, Jerry. On
well,
you.
You know, this trade, it's just going to make it that much tougher and more interesting for Houston in the division, for one. Because they now have more than one dimension they have to worry about in Indianapolis' offense. Besides the wide receivers and Andrew Luck in the passing game, now they have a thumper for a running back. And one of the best cures for a offensive line that has pass issues or protection issues is a solid running back. And now they have that. So they're going to be very hard, Indianapolis is, to know on the defensive side what they're going to do. You're going to have to, if you want to stop them, you're going to have to pick your poison, whether it's going to be in the running game or the passing game. Because they have solid players in both of those phases. Cleveland, I feel sorry for the Cleveland players because it's obvious they're in rebuild mode. They're going to their third-string quarterback, not even Jason Campbell. They're going to Brian Hoyer today, tomorrow. And who knows what's going to happen because they haven't said anything what's going to happen in the future with Brandon Whedon, whether they're going to have him come back after his thumb or hand injury, or they're going to roll with the backups. They went to Willis McGahee off the scrap heap, who had no preseason workouts with anybody, in camp with anybody. And right fresh off the street, they're going to throw him out there along with Chris Ogbagnani and Bernard Rainey. So that Cleveland and their fans is a mess. They're stocking up for next year. I guess they're going to get a franchise quarterback, which is their plan. They're probably going to get another wide receiver, and they're probably going to get a solid running back. All three of them in the draft because they have high draft picks in the first four rounds. So they tanked the season after two games, which is unbelievable to me, which is way unbelievable to me. Even though they denied it, that tank in the season, it's obvious you get rid of your big thumping running back that you just drafted last year, and that to all intents and purposes, everybody in the NFL thinks this guy is an elite running back, and you get rid of him. Supposedly, rumors that he doesn't fit the system. Are you kidding me? This guy can catch the ball, he can block, and he can run. What more you need for a running back to do? He's not one-dimensional. He can do everything that you want him to do. So it's obvious what they were doing, even though they said they weren't doing that. Tanking the season, going to get a high draft pick with their own pick, and hopefully Indianapolis pays off when they have to draft with the second pick in the first round.
You guys pay so much attention to college. I want you to tell me who the top running back is right now, because this could be a cat that they're targeting.
No,
yeah,
I
go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Rick. Go ahead, Vic. Go ahead.
Honestly, there isn't a really top running back in the draft coming up, but there are some very, very talented quarterbacks. Mr. Bridgewater from Louisville is the guy everybody says is the best quarterback in the in NCAA. I can see them going after him in the draft.
You think Manziel's coming out?
He's going to come out. He's a junior, I believe. This is his best opportunity. You got J.D. Von Clowney coming out. So they're not going to get another defensive end. You've got a couple other top-notch players. The top running back, I mean, there isn't really one out there that has set himself apart to the point where I would say, okay, yeah, he's a top five pick. Why spend one of your top picks on somebody that's not a clear-cut player? Now, to the point of the Colts, and we're going to move on after this, to the point of the Colts, they're not going to win the South. Right now, the way the Titans are playing, they might even come in second, to be honest. They've had to come back and win both of the games they did win versus the Raiders. And I forget who they played last week, but they had to come back. The Colts played
Miami.
They lost to Miami.
They lost to Miami, and they beat the Raiders.
Yeah, and as I said at the beginning of the summer, Miami is the team to beat in the East, but they put it on the Colts at home. So I don't think the Colts are that good. To be quite honest, they're just not that good.
But Vic, you do got to remember, it's only week three now. This happens every year. Okay, there's only week three. We've seen the Bills at 5-0, and Fred Jackson was leading the NFL in rushing yards, and they smacked the Redskins out. And next thing you know, they go on an L streak and barely make it to 6-10. These dudes, I'm telling you, this early in the season, a lot of people are pegging to, and I love my Dolphins. Hey. We 2-0, that's great. But I'm still not giving them nothing because it's too early to tell. Mike Wallace.
Well, that's fine.
Week one, Mike Wallace looked like trash. Last week, he looked like a receiver possessed. Are we going to see that Mike Wallace all year? I do not know.
Yeah, think about it. Hey, you can't say Mike Wallace looked like trash in week one because they only threw the ball to him twice in week one.
Right.
So you can't say he looked like trash. He opened things up for Hartline and for Givens. So he might not have gotten all the passes that he wanted, but he made the other players around him better because they were open. They had the one-on-ones. Mike Wallace is a good player. He's a very good player.
I'm not saying he's not, but the thing is, this is how it's going to go week to week. So we can't sit here and put these people out there all of a sudden, the Dolphins are going to take the division or...
I'm not saying that. I'm not putting them out there like that.
I understand, but it's too early right now. I just think that the Colts did this at the right time. It's week two. So they did this at the right time because they know when that halfway mark comes, Trent Richardson should be well on page with Luck, with Wayne, with T.Y., with everybody else.
I'm not saying he's not. What I'm saying is their offensive line is not geared to accommodate the power running game that Trent Richardson's bringing. Now, if Norv Turner and Chazinski thinks that Trent Richardson doesn't fit their system, bully for them because Ogbeniani doesn't, and Willis, as Jerry said, Willis is coming off of the street. He might be in great shape, but he's not in football shape. And they're going against a 49er team, they're going against the Seahawks, who are going to show them that they should have kept Trent at least for one more game. And they play a quarterback, Bobby Hoyer, that has never played a down in the NFL in a real game because they don't have any faith in Jason Campbell. And Brandon Whedon's got a thumb injury. I got it. This team is not geared for success right now, and they're tanking the season. Trent Richardson's going to be on a team that's better, but I don't believe they're going to make the playoffs. I really don't. But we're going to move on to the schedule now. Since we're talking about them, let's go to that game real quick and give the breakdown. I'm going to automatically say San Francisco's going to win this game. It's at home. They're coming off an embarrassing loss to Seattle. Alden Smith just got arrested this morning or yesterday morning, one of the others. This morning with a DUI. And,
Friday morning.
Harbaugh still going to play. And, the Colts already don't have that powerhouse defense. They're losing Laron Landry, a big hitter in their secondary. I think Frank Gore is going to go for almost two Bills in this game. Colin Kaepernick is going to have a decent game as well. How they handle Amon Bradshaw and Trent Richardson, I don't know. Amon might be the third down back. They're going to be in third down a lot against the 49ers, in my opinion. And again, the big factor for me is something that was brought up earlier on the shows when this week came up was only one person in the NFL can tell you exactly what to do against Mr. Luck, and that's Harbaugh. And Harbaugh, offensive coordinator, is now the offensive coordinator of the Colts. So the system and the offensive coordinator and the quarterback that Harbaugh had in Stanford, he knows. I look at this just like John Gruden going against with Tampa Bay going against the Raiders in the Super Bowl. It's no better experience on how to defeat your quarterback than with the guy that mentored him and taught him how to play the game. So that's my take. Let's go for the rest of the show, Rick and Jerry.
Well, you got to remember that coaching staff is over on Indy's side. It's just Harbaugh. So, I mean, don't get me wrong. I think San Fran is going to win this game, but something tells me that they know how to beat Harbaugh. That defense is what's going to really decide the game. You said Alden Smith is playing, right?
Yes.
Yeah, that defense is going to decide that game. I think San Fran will win it, but Richardson's going to have a pretty good game. He's probably going to be limited with, you know, because he's learning the book. But San Fran wins it.
There's not really too much to say other than San Fran wins. San Fran wins.
Okay. All right. Let's go for Jerry's favorite team. Here I am in Baltimore, where Ray Rice is not looking very positive at playing. Richard Pierce is we're going to get more carries anyway, even if Ray Rice does play. Houston, they're coming off of a great win without Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson, fair to play, is going to play. Hopkins has stepped up and shown that he's a threat, at least for 1 week he did. Arian Foster, what is going on? Arian Foster admits that he took some money while he was a senior at Tennessee, and he's already splitting time with Ben Tate. I'm not confident in this. I really think that Houston wins, but something deep down says that Baltimore pulls the upset without Ray Rice. I like Houston in this game. I really do. But Mr. Reed supposedly he's going to try to play. If Reed plays, I'm going with Houston. If Reed doesn't play, I'm going with Baltimore. Go ahead.
Houston, you got to stop doubting Mr. DeAndre Hopkins. He's just getting started. Houston, point blank. Baltimore gives up. They give up the pass. Going Houston.
I've talked about this guy before. I hope they had got him. I gushed about it when they got him in the draft, talking about DeAndre Hopkins. I've been all over this guy, especially when they drafted him. They labeled him the next akin to Roddy White. If you saw last week's game,
when
he completely dominated whoever guarded him, wherever the ball came to him, it looked like he had it was an old school type of wide receiver with stick 'em on his hands because the ball just seemed like it stuck to his hand anytime the ball was near his hands. This guy's going to be a beast on the other side with Andre Johnson. Baltimore, in my opinion, as long as these guys stay healthy, has got a problem being able to deal with both these guys. Matt Schaub, believe it or not, I think, besides the running game, I think they're going to be throwing the ball more because the fact is now they have a legit number two slash number one wide receiver on the other side, opposite Andre Johnson.
I tell you, when you listen to the master, you do not smell disaster. That, I'm telling you, that boy is great. DeAndre Hopkins, remember that name 5 years from now.
I told you guys when they drafted him.
Are you like Don King now, a lineman?
Yo,
you doing for
hey, I had to put that plug out there because when I seen him in the preseason, yo, he runs his routes. So, you know who he reminds me of? I don't want to even say this guy's name because I really think he has the potential to be better than him. He reminds me so much of Julio, the way that he runs his route.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
If he had a little more height, he would be the Julio Jones clone. This boy, Vic, I'm telling you, you got to watch it. You're a wide receiver fan, just a fan of the position. I know you, Vic. You watch this boy run a route. Watch how he extends his – did you see that play? The touchdown pass in the end of the game?
Yep.
Where he turned around?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look.
Oh, my goodness.
I got it.
Ridiculous.
You got a man crush on him. You got a man crush. I got it. Okay, let's move on.
I would be his number one fan, yo.
Boy
is righty. Good.
Okay, moving on. The Giants at Carolina. Now, look, guys. Got the same feeling here.
Like Jacksonville versus Jacksonville.
Giants. The Giants are struggling with their run game. Gil Bryce says that they need to be more balanced, and if David Wilson is the guy running the ball and he's doing well, then he's going to be the running back. But if he's not, they'll get somebody else in there. He said that yesterday to ESPN New York. But the thing is, they went out and got Brandon Dick, a short yardage back, who's a big, big muscle. He's not a feature back, but he's going to be the goal line guy. And then they bring Darrell Scott off of the bench for third down. David Wilson has been relegated to kick returns. And spotty play at running back. It shows there's not a lot of confidence there. I don't think it's a good week to try to get him in there to run the ball because you got Coopsley, you've got John Beeson, you've got Johnson on the defensive line. All of these guys, they're not that bad. The Carolina Panthers' weakness is their secondary. That's their weakness. Unfortunately, Eli has thrown 7 interceptions already, and it's only week 3. So it might not be a weakness this week for Carolina. But Carolina's offensive weakness is their strength, Cam Newton. They can't blame the running game, because D'Angelo Williams has been doing his job the first couple
mm-hmm.
weeks. He's been getting the yards. Cam has not looked at anybody other than Steve Smith.
Can't trust anybody.
Exactly. That's my point. So in this game, somebody's going to come out on top. Personally, I think it's going to be the Giants, based upon the fact that they have the better all-around team, and Eli's not afraid to throw the ball to anybody. Cam is, and it's evident in his gameplay and his pass distribution. It's in Carolina, and you're going to hear a lot of boo birds. Ron Rivera might be lucky to make it to the bye week if they keep losing. I really think the Giants get on the board this week, and, I don't think David Wilson's going to have that big of a game. He might have a little part, but it's not going to be a feature back part. So I'm picking the Giants to win or strip Eli Manning, but not a spectacular game. Go ahead, Rick.
Yo, three people are going to have a great game. Victor Cruz, Ruben Randle, and believe it or not, Hakeem Nicks. The Carolina secondary is just that bad. They're just that bad. I mean, it's nothing else. I love Luke Kuechly. That dude there, he's great. And the fact that they got Thomas Davis and Beeson out there, their front seven is good. That back half is just utterly awful. So the Giants finally get a W this week.
Well, it's not the first and won't be the last. I beg to differ. I think they go on the road to Carolina, even though the Giants do play better on the road. I have to give it to the home team. I think Carolina is going to pull out a win here. The thing about this is what I've seen is, I think you give the ball to David Wilson and just let him keep running the freaking ball. The problem is, I think they're too inconsistent on what they do with him. And he's the type of back you have to give him the ball, be able to get him in a rhythm in the game and not jerk him around and have him second guessing and screwing up his confidence. He screwed up a couple times, fine. Now he's apprehensive on what he should do. You give the kid the ball. You got rid of Ahmad Bradshaw because you thought this was the kid. Well, if you thought this was the kid, give him the ball and let him take his lumps. Just don't, I mean, he takes one mistake and you yank him out. If you have confidence in the kid, show it. That's the problem with Tom Coughlin. As soon as you make one mistake, you jack him out, and now your kid's confidence is destroyed. This kid can run the ball. He's a dynamic runner. If you give him room to run, either give him a short pass in between the tackles or on the edge, you give him the freaking ball. I think they should give him the ball, and I do like Carolina in this game. Everybody's thinking the Giants because they play well on the road, and Carolina's been going through some bumps and bruises. They're playing at home. Carolina's playing at home. Giants are playing on the road. I like Carolina.
All right, let's move on. I'm going to be at this game tomorrow watching the Washington Redskins play the Detroit Lions. Now, the Lions look to be without Reggie Bush. Reggie might play, but let's say if Reggie plays, he'll play maybe a quarter because I do think they're going to target his knees, knowing the defensive players of the Washington Redskins, they might target his knees. And he's wearing a protective sleeve and stuff like that. so if he plays, he plays. Now, here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen. They lost last week. They're going to lose this week. Well, both teams lost last week, so let me clear that up. One team lost to the Cardinals last week, where they were dominating the game. As soon as Reggie was out of the game, the Cardinals crept back in and won it. The Redskins will win this game, get it done, and send Detroit down that L path that they so richly deserve this season and will get. The problem is this. Their passing game is 10 times better than our secondary play. If you play IDPs in any of your leagues, the guy to get, D'Angelo Hall. Because he'll be locked up on Megatron. And Megatron is going to smoke him like a Cuban cigar all day long. But, on the other hand, Detroit secondary isn't that good either. Once you get past their front four, there's not much there. And I believe the Redskins are going to pound Alfred Morris a lot. A lot. There'll be some collisions down in the trenches in this game in order to keep Megatron and Stafford off the field. Now, I have all three players. I have, I have a lot of the players in this game. But in one league, I have Stafford, Megatron, and Reggie Bush. I'm sitting Reggie Bush this week just because I'm not sure of his play, and I have Bernard Pierce going because I know he's going to start and he's going to play. But the bottom line is the Redskins, for some reason, are a second-half team this year. They need to push some of that in the first quarter. They need to stop playing their two-minute offense and pound Alfred Morris. Alfred had 107 yards on 13 carries versus the Green Bay Packers. He should be able to get that in the first half against Detroit. Detroit hasn't won a game at Redskins field in, I think, 17 years or something like that. But look for that streak to continue. Pick the Redskins. Let's go.
You know I'm a fan. I got to go with my guys. I'm always going to go with my Skins regardless. Calvin Johnson probably get 200 yards, 4 touchdowns, which is going to make my fantasy look beautiful. But I got to go with my guys. Got to go with the Skins, baby.
Okay. You're right, Vic. They haven't won in quite a few years. They've never won in Washington. You're absolutely right. Well, every year is different, and so is this. let me put it this way. Even when Reggie Bush was in the lineup and running hard, Joyke Bell still had double-digit fantasy numbers. So even though Reggie Bush may not be in there, Joyke Bell can be just as effective, and he is, in fact, for the most part, the goal line back. So it doesn't make a difference if it's Reggie Bush or if it's Joyke Bell, because the fact is the offense still is going to be run the same with the passing game and with the running game. And I'm telling you, Detroit defense is better than it has been in the past. I like Detroit in this game to surprise Washington to win it first time in years. I really like Detroit, not because of the bet, but because what I've said in the past, before the season started, I think this is one of the surprise teams. Quite naturally, they lost last week. I understand that. I think they go into Washington and take it from the Skins. The Skins are still trying to develop their offense.
Are you starting RG3?
Am I starting? Sure, absolutely. Start RG3. You can't get away from you have to start RG3. Now, if I had RG3 and Matthew Stafford for some reason on my team, I can tell you I would start Matthew Stafford because that pass defense of Washington is absolutely horrible. But the offense that Detroit can generate is to me a lot better, in my opinion, and it's just my opinion, than what Washington can generate in offense. So I have to go with Detroit. I know it's a tough game. I know that the history is against me, but it won't be the first and last time I try to bump history. So I like Detroit in this game, unfortunately, guys.
It's fine. I mean, you'll be wrong again. That makes me closer. Let's move on to a surprisingly great matchup. San Diego Superchargers take on the Tennessee Titans in Tennessee. Tennessee has the number one ranked defense in the NFL after 2 weeks of play, Kansas City is second to them. So that makes it a little difficult play for anybody that has Ryan Matthews or something like that. But another surprise is Eddie Royal, 5 touchdowns in 2 games. Phillip Rivers is looking like the old Phillip Rivers. He's finding Antonio Gates, Eddie Royal. I believe Vincent Brown comes back this week, if I'm not mistaken.
Vincent Brown's playing. What are you talking about?
It was one of Malcolm Floyd or one of us was down for a game or two.
Malcolm Floyd's Malcolm Floyd's going to be out for a month.
Okay. But regardless of that,
You play fantasy, Vic, and you don't know about these players? Oh boy.
Hey, Jerry, I'm not worried about them. They're not on my team. So at any rate, San Diego goes to Tennessee. It's probably a very good game. I would say this is a pick'em, but they're starting to use Locker a little bit more, like we talked about during the summer. He's getting a couple of read option plays here and there. Chris Johnson isn't the explosive back that everybody thought he would be this year, but he's doing his job. The main focus for both teams is their defense. Both defenses are doing well. I'm going to have to pick San Diego in this one, mainly because Kenny Britt tweets out earlier in the week, this will probably be my last year in Tennessee or being a Titan, and it's showing on the field because he's not getting a lot of targets. Not at all. Kendall Wright is getting the majority of the targets. And that says something. When Kenny Britt is healthy, Kenny Britt is a beast. And he's been healthy all preseason and all so far during the regular season. But, yeah, I'm going to pick San Diego in this. Eddie Royal gets on the board again because they're designing plays for him. He'll be a comeback player of the year if he keeps this up. But I got San Diego. Ricky. Rainfall, he fell asleep, didn't he?
Nope.
Rick.
I'm here.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he fell asleep for a second.
I don't know about this one. Come back to me.
All right, I'll pick this thing. You know, he may have been the consensus. You may drive the San Diego train, but I'm not buying it. The reason why Kenny Britt has been ineffective is because he's been lackadaisical on the field. The coaching staff is not happy with him because he hasn't been run blocking for one, and he has been running very bad pass routes. So quite naturally, his get out is this is probably my last year, for the simple fact is the coaching staff has been on him because he hasn't been playing the way supposedly Kenny Britt's supposed to play. That's why the only person I ever would draft and I said it before the draft, I would never draft a wide receiver from Tennessee because of the quarterback play. True, they're trying to get him more involved in a read option, which is good for Chris Johnson, which I think he's going to have a better week this week than he had last week. And I don't believe in San Diego. I still don't believe in it. They went out and played Houston well. That's fine. They won the first game, or they lost the first game against Philly. Well, vice versa. Let me put it that way. Whatever. They won the first game against Philly, and they lost the last game against Houston, which is fine. Now they're going on the road again to Tennessee, from Houston back home and out of Tennessee. I don't like Houston, San Diego in this game at all, at all. I think Tennessee.
Well, you got it backwards. You got it backwards. They played Houston first in Houston. Then they flew to Philly, beat Philly. So then they're traveling down to Tennessee. So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, the whole idea is this, that they're flying back across, flying back and forth across the country, from the West Coast to the East Coast, back to the West Coast, and back down to the South, which is, in essence, the East Coast. So it's a different time change and the like. That takes a toll on the team, especially in the back-to-back games, and they have to fly across the country for those back-to-back games. I don't like San Diego in this game at all. I like Tennessee, and that just makes me sick because Tennessee is, I think, a very bad team with a very bad quarterback. But circumstances are they're playing San Diego with the circumstances I already outlined, and I think San Diego goes home with a loss.
Okay. I want to give a big shout out to one of my classmates, Mr. Agee. He'll be my lawyer once he passes the bar. He listened to last Sunday's program, The Master Plan. He listened for a minute as you guys were breaking down the fights, and he's from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be happy that you picked his Titans to win this week. So big shout out to him. But moving on to a game.
Well, wait a minute. Before you move on, Victor. Just one quick question. What did he think of the show last week?
He didn't listen to the whole show, but he said that you guys were breaking it down, and he listened to the part where I guess you or Black were talking about how the judge was blind, and how could they rule it a tie or whatever. That's the part
mm-hmm.
he heard.
Okay.
But he said it was good. But moving on to a game that I think is going to be very, very exciting because the defenses aren't going to be that good, in my opinion. Arizona goes to New Orleans. Now, Rob Ryan has a Denver don't break defense. Arizona has a great defense, and I'm telling you, the Honey Badgers, I stand corrected. I know it's only 3 games into the season, but I stand corrected. The Honey Badger has been an effective NFL player from the cornerback position. He's made some plays in both games versus the Rams and versus Detroit. I stand corrected. That kid is a player. He is a player. Maybe not the best cornerback, but he's a player in the NFL. Unfortunately, he's going against Drew Brees and that team. All I needed last week was for Jimmy Graham to get that touchdown that he said he didn't get, or one more pass for a few yards, and I would have been yapping at Ricky, but it didn't happen. I'm telling you, I'm telling you, New Orleans is prime and ready, but so is Arizona. Carson Palmer, even without Fitz for most of that game last week, he won the game. He won the game. And Mendenhall is yet another disappointment, but he's their running back. But it's in New Orleans, and the weather's
not
bad
for long.
Down here.
Not for long.
The weather's bad down there. I know they're playing in the dome and all that other good stuff. But I think Arizona goes in there, and they scare New Orleans. New Orleans comes out with the victory. I think Breeze throws for a good 300 yards in this game. But I also think Carson Palmer almost goes for 300 yards. I really think that's going to happen. So I'm picking New Orleans. Rick, let's go.
We're going to go with Drew Brees.
Same here. I'm going to go with New Orleans. I like New Orleans in this game. Tomorrow I'll reveal a player you should look at, I think he's going to be on the rise very shortly.
All right. If it's Kenny Stills, that's a guy that Brees has looked at quite a bit when he's not looking for Jimmy Graham. Lance Moore has pretty much dropped off his radar
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason,
mm-hmm.
and Kenny Stills has jumped on. So that's an option. He's their deep guy. And last week, he could have made some plays, but he didn't, so we'll see what happens there. Moving on to a game that promises to be pretty good as well in Cincinnati, where the Starks-led Packers go into Cincinnati to play the Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, A.J. Green, Giovanni Bernard, the law firm, Tyler Eifert, and Gresham. With all that being said, Green Bay should win this game. Unfortunately, I think they lose. I'm picking the Houdet Nation in this one. I think Cincinnati is a complete team, offense, defense, and special teams. Whereas, yes, Starks went crazy on the Redskins. He'll have a decent game versus the Bengals, but I don't think, Aaron Rodgers has the type of game he did against the Redskins, because Cincinnati's secondary
is a lot better than the Redskins secondary. I think James Jones, when James Jones is on, Jermichael Finley's off, and vice versa. I think that you're going to see a lot more James Jones in this game because Pac-Man, Newsom, and they're going to try to cover up Cobb and Jordy Nelson pretty well. So it'll either be a Finley show or it'll be a James Jones show. And James Sharks will get his touches. But Cincinnati runs the ball hard over them. Giovanni Bernard and the law firm are looking to both break 100 yards in this game if Cincinnati does this right. I know AJ didn't have his best game last Monday night, but I don't think he's going to have a great game this time. He might get a touchdown, but he won't be getting a lot of yards. But I look for Cincinnati to win this game. Let's go.
Rick?
Yeah.
Man, I'm sorry. I got off work at 12 p.m. today, man. Football is like the least bit on my mind right now.
Okay, no problem.
I'm up. What? Tell me your pick, Jerry.
Hold on. Here's what I need you to do first, Rick. I need you to get that trophy.
Yeah. Oh, I already got that part set. That's done. Sophie's already right. Ready. I'm just waiting. I'm waiting on your nephew. All
right, because you're gonna be sleeping like the next 15 minutes. All right.
No, I'm gonna be sleeping as soon as you say you've been listening to.
Anyway, let me run this down. I like New Orleans in this game. Like I said.
We're not talking about New Orleans. We're talking about Green Bay and Cincinnati.
Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah, this is what I was going to say. And I'll say it again tomorrow. For those of you who deem yourself extremely smart drafting or getting James Starks off the waiver wire for just for 1 week.
That's fine.
It is a dumb move, in my opinion, because I don't think James Starks is going to do that much against a very good Cincinnati offense, and for the most part, he's on just 1 week that he's going to be there because Green Bay got a bye week next week, and I guarantee you Eddie Lacy's coming back the fifth week real strong, and James Starks will be just about a change of pace or maybe 5 to 10 touches at that. So even though you got James Starks, whoever got him, that doesn't have anything to do with you, Ricky.
You talking about me?
No, it doesn't make a difference who it was. I don't pay attention. If you got him against me, who cares? You're going to lose anyway, so I'm not worried about that. So I'm just saying that for those of you who jumped on James Stark because of who he ran against. He ran against Washington, which is one of the worst defenses to run it to one of the worst defenses. So he took advantage of a big score and being able to run on a defense that can be run on. Cincinnati is going to be way different than that. And James Starks is not going to be able to, he's not even going to run for 80 yards, much less 100, over 100. That's not happening. So I don't like him at all. In fact, I'm partner with a guy on a Yahoo league that picked him up. And because we have two other running backs, I'm still sitting this guy and putting Bernard Pierce in there because he's a better option. James Starks, I don't like him at all this week against Cincinnati, and I think Green Bay still goes in there and wins it with the passing game, the shootout, which Andy Dalton's going to lose.
Hey,
okay.
I'm going to tell you like this. I've been a James Starks fan ever since they
same here.
Ever since they went to that Super Bowl, and I really do want to see him succeed, but for some reason I do gotta agree with the master that daggone Cincinnati defensive front seven. My goodness.
Yep.
They're just ridiculous. So if you got James Starks, if you have better options, please play the better options. If not, he's going to get something, but he's not going to get what he got on Washington. He's not at all. Truthfully, I think that Cincinnati can pull this game off, and it would be predicated on your boy, Jerry, and I'll say your boy too, Vic, because I watch Hard Knocks just like you do, Mr. Giovanni Bernard.
Oh, okay.
This guy here is like a diamond in the rough right here. He's a diamond in the rough.
Yep.
There's no way that, I believe anyway, just in my opinion, there's no way that Green Bay can cover A.J. Green. We know that. But just from what Giovanni Bernard showed us, and it wasn't nothing but a glimpse last week, but just from what he showed us, I'm telling you, this kid's got potential. He's going to be the surprise of this year. I think that Cincinnati can actually pull this game off. So I'm going to pick Cincinnati. 3 points. They win this game. And shock the Green Bay Packers. They can do it.
I said they're going to beat them. I don't care about no shocking. They're going to beat them. Next game is the it could have been built as time versus present, but now they've traded away Trent Richardson, and AP is at home in the Dome versus Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's defense is still a top-notch defense. Unfortunately for them, they're going to move the field a lot. Christian Ponder doesn't have to do much in this game because I believe the Cleveland players feel a little deflated. Psychologically, I think they feel like their owner or ownership has just thrown in the towel. So their play is going to suffer a lot for the rest of the year. Josh Gordon returns, but not to the quarterback that he was used to. It's to the third-string quarterback, Mr. Hoyer. I don't see Cleveland winning this game at all. No way, shape, form, even with Willis coming back on AstroTurf. It's just not a good feeling. So I'm going to stick with the Vikings on this. Rudolph gets a touchdown. AP gets maybe one or two. I see a 21-13 game with Jordan Cameron being the lone star in this game, being consistent with what he's been doing. Other than that, I don't have anything else on this one.
Rick.
Okay.
I'm going with Minnesota, and my sleeper would be the other rookie, Cordero or Corderell, how everybody says it, however you want to say it, Cordero Patterson. They're finally going to put him on offense and try to showcase his talent. So, of course, we got to go with Minnesota. AP, yeah, Cleveland has a good defense, but they don't have anything to back it up. No offense. So I'm definitely going with Minnesota.
I'm not a big fan of either one of these teams, to tell you the truth. You guys heard me before. I think Christian Ponder is one of the worst quarterbacks in the league, even though he played halfway decent last year. And I still say that Adrian Peterson is not going to be the same AP that he was last year. But because I think Minnesota wins this strictly by default because of the things that have happened in Cleveland recently. Now, these guys in Cleveland can rally and try to prove people wrong, but I don't think they have the tools to do it. And I see this probably a low-scoring game because the ineptitude of the offenses besides Adrian Peterson, the two quarterbacks. But I think, and I have a funny feeling that Mr. Brian Hoyer is going to fool some people tomorrow, and pretty have a halfway decent day. Maybe not a 350-yard day, but have a decent day throwing the football. They got Josh Gordon coming back from a two-game suspension, which is another option in the passing game along with Jordan Cameron. So I have to think that Mr. Hoyer may prove to be a surprise. There's got to be a reason why they didn't go to the more experienced Jason Campbell and jumped over him to went to Brian Hoyer. So we'll see what happens.
If you're really listening to this is the disaster part of the master plan. I swear to goodness, if I see somebody put Brian Hoyer in the game, I'm gonna blast you up.
Oh no, I'm not saying put Brian Hoyer in the game, but for the matchup of these Minnesota's not too strong against the pass.
If I even see Brian Hoyer on somebody's team, I'm gonna blast you.
Oh no, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is. The matchup. I'm not saying this, when I talked about that, I'm talking about this is out of fantasy. I'm thinking Brian Hoyer they did it for a reason. Even though that they're definitely going to go to another quarterback next year, and they went to the third string quarterback, which is hardly a move any teams make unless they do it for a specific reason that the North Turner and Chazinski thinks this guy can handle the West Coast offense. Better than Jason Campbell can, who's basically a long ball thrower. He throws the ball longer than he does short, longer than he does short. So I think Brian Hoyer probably has a better grasp and better accuracy in the short passing game versus Jason Campbell. So I think that's the reason why they're going there. And if that's the case, Jordan Cameron should have a decent day, and possibly Josh Gordon. I mean, you know, but. This is just speculation on my part, and it's just a gut feeling, even though I think Cleveland's still going to lose the game.
Okay. I mean, it is whatever you think it is. We're going to move on.
Mm-hmm.
St. Louis, the Lou, heads down to Dallas, where you got a hurt man, Tony Romo, a limp leg, Dez Bryant, offensive coordinator, somewhat at odds with the head coach because the offensive coordinator is calling more pass plays than run plays, but they were supposed to be running more than passing. A very good defense in Dallas, a very good defense in St. Louis. But the difference in this game, in my opinion, happens to be that St. Louis's offense is stuttering. It is just stuttering. I can't tell you that there's a shining light in the tunnel because they just don't know what to do. It's not Sam Bradford's fault, but they just can't establish a running game with Daryl Richardson. That's why Isaiah Pede received more touches last week than Richardson. Even though he didn't do him well, he was in there pass blocking more than he was running the ball or catching the ball. I think IDFP's going to end up taking that job and doing something, but this week is when they decide to make that change midway through the game, in my opinion. I think the Cowboys win this game, especially coming off of a loss to a very good Kansas City Chiefs team. The defense in Kansas City is way better than the defense in St. Louis, but the weapons on St. Louis are not as good as the weapons in Kansas City. For that reason, I'm picking the Cowboys to win this game. Move right along. Let's go.
Well, Vic, we said it. We had said it, I think it was week one, maybe before week one. We were both wondering why they went with Daryl Richardson over Isaiah Pede. And I'm like you. I'm with you on this. I think that Isaiah Pede will basically take that job. He's going to take that job before week five, I think, or week six, either one. He's the one that needs to be out there. I'm more intrigued with the matchup of, and they pointed this out yesterday, Dez Bryant versus Courtland Finnegan. That's going to be, like, that's going to be great. You know, Courtland Finnegan is a very physical quarterback, and Dez Bryant is just, quote-unquote right now, the best of the best. I'm going to give it to the Cowboys just because nobody is still talking about Miles Austin. You have your usuals. You got Jason Witten, you got Dez, you got DeMarco, but nobody's talking about Miles Austin. I'm going to give it to the Cowboys, and they're playing at home. I got to give it to them. They're going to win this game.
Cowboys.
Cowboys. All right. Let's move on to Miami, where the AL tries to get on track here. And they're not looking the same without Roddy White being in the on the field and being that dominant. Matty Ice is still pretty good, but that dual threat of White and Jones just isn't materializing because White is hurt and he's pretty much ineffective. I think Miami gets a wake-up call because Atlanta comes in there and they're gonna put something on. I think that even though Miami has a very good defense, Jacquez Rogers is a pretty decent back. He gives them a lot of versatility on offense, whereas he can catch the ball in the backfield cleaner than Jackson. He can also run the ball, but if they need the big yards, they're going to bring in Jason Snelling. So, you know, the short yards and the touchdowns, you might see Snelling versus Jacquez. But the problem with Atlanta is their secondary. Their secondary is very poor. And if Tannehill, who is injured a little bit, is able to take advantage of that, Mike Wallace has a big game. Hartline has a big game. Gibbons has a big game. Clay, the surprising tight end for Miami, who has the most targets next to Hartline, by the way, has a big game. So I can see this actually coming out to maybe like a possible 25-32-31 game, something like that. I can really see that being the case in Miami. Bad weather is going to be there. So if Lamar Miller can't run on Atlanta, he's not going to be able to run on anybody pretty much. And if Jacquez, who I think can do it, is able to run on that tough Miami defense, you're going to have a pretty good game on your hands. But I'm picking Atlanta to win this game.
Both Atlanta wideouts are nicked up, but Julio's definitely going to play. Roddy White's probably going to be questionable for a little while during the season. I don't have as much confidence in Rodgers as you do, or probably as anybody else. Rodgers is an okay back. He's more so of a – he reminds me more so of a Dave Meggett type back.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to let that be. That's going to be the thing that kind of hinders them. If they don't get Steven Jackson back this year early, I really don't want to pick Miami, but at the same time, Miami has a healthier – they have a healthier team if you look at it. Like you say, Charles Clay is the sleeper right now. Who knew after Dustin Keller went down that this dude was going to come out there and do what he did? I really want to see what Lamar Miller can do against the front seven for Atlanta, because when they picked up Osi, they were supposed to be great. They didn't suspect that Asante Samuel would be out the way that he's out. So I'm going to go with the surprise and give it to Miami and make them a 3-0 team, just because I think they can actually get to 5-0, but that's when the trouble will start. So I'm going to go ahead and give it to Miami right there.
Man, you guys are really buying into it.
No. I picked Atlanta. What are you talking about?
Well, okay. I should say you got.
Miami
that said a lot of people are buying into Miami. You picked Miami to win the division, so you are buying into Miami.
No, I didn't pick that.
No. I'm talking about Vic. He picked Miami to win the AFC East, which is mind-boggling. They're 2-0. Okay, they beat. They're 2-0.
Okay.
Who had Miami played? They played Cleveland, and they haven't played anybody. This is a legitimate.
Hold on. You're saying they didn't play anybody, but yet you pick Indianapolis to make the playoffs. That they're that good, they're gonna make the playoffs. You say
absolutely.
Cleveland's defense is good. The offense was porous, but they still won.
Well,
and New England looked like crap versus two.
Wait a minute. Now look at who's the quarterback in Indianapolis, and look at who's the quarterback in New England, and look who's the quarterback in Miami, okay? The two quarterbacks I first named in those two teams don't even come close. The guy in Miami doesn't even come close to those first two guys. Doesn't even come close to Andrew Luck. Doesn't even come close to Tom Brady, okay? So when you say I picked Indianapolis, I picked Indianapolis. They got a better quarterback and they got a better offense than Miami does.
But you also said they didn't play anybody. You know, I'm trying to tell you that Indianapolis, based upon what you said, they're a playoff contender. They did beat somebody. They beat Indianapolis, a playoff contender, according to you.
Well, let me put it this way, okay? I still think second game on the road. They're playing a better playoff contending team than Indianapolis.
Okay.
Which is with Atlanta, who's got more options with a more than capable quarterback who's tried and true in the playoffs. Even though he hasn't won a lot of playoff games, he has played playoff games. Andrew Luck was only in the playoffs for the first year last year, so this is a more experienced quarterback. And a more experienced team that's going against a very young Miami team in Miami. I like Atlanta big time in this game. I don't think it's even going to be close.
Really?
I don't think it's going to be close. I don't even know what the point spread is, but it won't make a difference. I don't think it's going to be close.
Jerry, I know something. I just tweeted out to Jim Irsay that you said Miami hasn't beaten anybody, including the coach. So Jim Irsay called, I'm going to let him talk to you.
He's a troublemaker. And you know what? Jim Irsay would mess around and make that call, too.
He sure would. That's why I keep tweeting.
Fine. It don't make a difference to me. It doesn't make a difference to me. You remind me when I was about 10 or 12 years old of one of my younger brothers that always was a pain in the ass.
Hey, Jerry, now you know what we've gone through.
Yes.
You know what we've gone through our high school lives.
Yes.
Whatever.
Wagging a finger, saying, I'm going to tell mommy, I'm going to tell daddy, one of these things. That's what you remind me of, Vic. Jeez.
Really? Wow.
I need to call up Van and Chris and Eric.
Just whatever. Y'all still losers.
You're going to be a two-time loser after this weekend.
No. I'm going to be a winner.
Okay.
Can't miss Kansas.
As long as you remember my PayPal account, come next Friday, we good.
The master has spoken.
Slim.
What?
Let's get it straight. You be paying me this Friday. This Friday,
hey,
come back to San Pete.
Okay.
Remember that.
Jerry.
Yes.
Don't worry about it.
Every dollar you lose, I'll get it back for you.
Really? I want you to remember those lines. You're going to be important. So, anyway. let's move on to Buffalo at the Jets, Jerry's other team. I think it's going to be a laugher. I really think that E.J. Manuel is going to show Geno why he was taken in the second round, and he was the 16th overall pick. E.J. Manuel, thus far, and you can't say he hasn't gone against stiff competition, because he outplayed Tom Brady, even though they lost. He outplayed Tom Brady. Last week, he takes the team down with 4 seconds left, wins the game with a good pass, a very good pass to Steve Smith in the end zone, and wins that game last week. I think Buffalo, and they should have won that game last week, but they didn't. I mean, excuse me, they should have won that game versus the Patriots, but they didn't. They beat Carolina. They're going to go into New Jersey and thoroughly put a whooping on those Jets. Geno is going to be like, yeah, I guess he was better than me. That's why he was picking first round, I was picking in the second round. I really think that the Buffalo Bills defense, which is ranked number 5 overall in the NFL, and that offense, which is better than a lot of people gave credit for, and I told you, they're going to be number 1 or number 2 in the East, and I still believe it. They're going to show the Jets why I made that prediction. I'm picking Buffalo easy in this game. We got 9 minutes out there, so let's go.
I just want to make this clear. This is one thing that I do hate more than the Dallas Cowgirl, and that's this quote. J-E-T-S, Jet, Jet, Jet. I hate that with a passion. I mean, I hate it with a passion. But you know what? I am going to pick the Jets this week because they have their defense back. They really do. If you look at the way everything is forming, they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher yet. The cornerbacks are slowly coming into form like Rex Ryan had it when he had Darrelle Revis and your guy on the other side. I can't even think of his name right now.
Cromartie.
Right, Cromartie. Mm-hmm. Everything's coming into form for that defense. This boy, this quarterback that they have, he's slowly but surely processing everything, and he knows in the back of his mind that Sanchez wants to get back. He's not giving him that job back. I'm telling you, I seriously think that the Jets will pull this game out. This is a classic AFC East matchup right here from back in the days. The Jets win this game, Vic. I'm telling you, they win it by a field goal, but they win this game. There's not going to be any stars in the game except for Geno or E.J. Manuel. That's it. The Jets win this game, though.
Well, I have to get into Rick that, yes, the Jets' defense is back to maybe not quite the first 2 years Rex was here, but it's very close. They have a budding star. I don't think you guys know this guy, but guys, the defensive end called. Wait a minute. Because I study football, not just one team. And this guy is a budding star that's probably going to be talked about quite a few times after this game, talking about Sheldon Richardson, okay? This guy moves the offensive line when he's in there. And if you happen to watch this game, you'll see what I'm talking about. I, too, think this is going to be an extremely tight game. This is a battle, really a battle of New York. These two teams are in New York, one in upstate New York, and the other one's in New York, excuse me, a New York-based city, but they play in Jersey. This is going to be a very tight game. Very interesting game because you got two rookie quarterbacks and two pretty stellar defenses. You know what? I'm going to flip a coin on this. And because I think that the Jet quarterback is more turnover prone than E.J. Manuel, I'm going with the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, yes. Such a weak guy.
No, I'm not weak.
He's just picking with his heart. He's picking against his love. His
no, I'm picking with because Geno is more turnover prone than EJ Manuel, and that's a statistical fact.
Oh. I agree. Now listen up. We got about 5 minutes left of live air. So what I want to do real quick before we get to these last three games is I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Every Saturday we're here 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Sundays we got the Master Plan. This Sunday Jerry's going to give you some more sneaky picks.
Mm-hmm.
Breaks down the NFL games for Sunday. Then on Monday we've got Sylvia Crawley. She's here in D.C. at the Black Caucus. She had an opportunity to talk with Al Sharpton, Yana Van Zandt, and a few other folks that we're going to try to get that stuff on the air real soon. We'll see what happens with that. Then on Thursdays, we've got FSP Crew Show with Jeff Black and Jerry doing their thing, having fun, and you can always check them out all the time. Then on Friday, this upcoming Friday, return of the controversial one, Mr. Mac Williams, the No Chaser, co-host Jerry Taylor. I'm quite sure if the government does decide to shut down, that'll be on his topic of things to talk about. We shall see. but he says he's back. He's got a couple of guests coming up. I'll give you a clue. My guy Robinson, that played for the Kansas Jayhawks, got drafted by Sacramento and now plays with Portland. Thomas Robinson, I thought the Wizards should have drafted him, but you never know. He's a D.C. guy, could have and should have been here. He's supposed to come on the show. He's got a couple other folks coming on as well, but he says he's back and ready to get going again. Then that brings right back to me on Saturdays, FSP, Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Now, one thing I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, before we go off the air, I'm trying to find a way to host our own radio website where you can call in and talk to us live. But that seems to be a little hiccup in the giddy-up. But we're still going to launch that. It might be a little later than I anticipated, but it's coming. We're going to have our own website that will stream 24/7 all of our programming. Every last episode, going back to 2009,
oh my!
I'm bringing it all over there. So, you'll hear a lot of that coming up. But with that being said, we're going to knock out these last three shows, or these last three games, and then we'll get out there. So, catch these last three games in overtime. If you miss it, you miss it. But come back and listen to us. We love you here on Fantasy Sports and Politics. Next game on the docket is Jacksonville going to Seattle. Now, this game we really don't need to talk about, in my opinion, because if MJD doesn't play, I think Seattle just, if they're playing at Seattle, I think they just give them a goose egg. I think they give them a huge goose egg, and it's like 54 to nothing. That's what I'm looking at. Best thing on Jacksonville right now is Paul Fulton-Levin. And if you're looking for a back, just because you need a back to play this week for injury purposes, Todman for Jacksonville is Maurice Jones' back. But I don't know if you want to go there. It's only if you desperately have to. Like in my case, in one of my leagues, I have MJD and Reggie Bush, and both are down. So we'll see what happens there. But I got Seattle in this game easy. What you got, Rick?
I'm trying to figure out. This is week three, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Dang it. Justin Blackman doesn't come back to the next week. I'm trying to find the reason to pick Jacksonville, and it's just not working right now.
Good luck.
Bump
yeah,
it. hey, is Jimmy Smith playing in this game? No, Vic, I can't. You know who I'm picking. I mean, I'm trying to find a reason for Jacksonville.
There is no reason.
Is Fred Taylor coming back just for one showing?
I don't think so.
Ah, dang it. Oh, well. Yeah,
there's no really need to even talk about this game. It's in Seattle, and MJD. Even if he was playing, it would have made a difference.
Yeah, it wouldn't have.
Seattle.
All right.
Mark Brunell. I heard he was coming out of retirement.
All right, 10 seconds left. Ladies and gentlemen, we're about to go to overtime in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Overtime. All right, Chicago and Pittsburgh, the Sunday night game. Unfortunately for Pittsburgh, Chicago's on fire. Jay Cutler is showing finally in his contract year, of course, why he is the quarterback they need. Now, granted, I don't think Trestman's better than Lovie Smith, but he's a more offensive-minded coach. So Cutler is able to thrive in this offense, and he's proven, at least in the first couple of games, that he can move the ball and he can get the touchdowns and all that good stuff. Pittsburgh, they've got to get Todd Haley out of office movement going on up there. And unfortunately, Mike Tomlin is taking a heat for a lack of offensive cohesiveness and play. Le'Veon Bell returns in, what, 3 more weeks? And then he still has to get back in shape as far as football shape and get some touches, because right now he's the best thing that they have, and he's not playing. I don't understand why they haven't put Jonathan Dwyer out there to run the ball, because Redmond is definitely ineffective.
I told you that last week or week before that he stinks. He absolutely stinks. I would never have picked him up. Told you that.
Sure. I got that, but my point is that Jonathan Dwyer, even through preseason, proved that he was better. But they still cut him. And it must be something internal.
Because the fact is they believe Jonathan Dwyer doesn't have the desire to the fire in the belly to be an effective back. That's the reason why they cut him.
He's the type of back that feeds off of competition, and he probably felt like there was no competition, so why should I work even hard?
Yep.
You know, that's what it is.
But he was being productive. He was being productive,
but Vic, you know, when you that's like going to the gym. When you see somebody lift 250, you're like, oh, I can do that. Let me get 260. And the next man is like, oh, I can get 260. Let's go 275. You know what I'm saying? You want somebody to feed off of. He was easily beating Redmond. He was easily beating everybody out there. So,
yep.
He was taking off.
I understand that, but right now they need him so that Ben Roethlisberger isn't killed. He already has lost the offensive lineman, his center, best player in the offensive line. He lost another player, and it was evident Monday night against Cincinnati that Ben isn't going to last long. The receivers are dropping balls. He's getting sacked. The running backs can't run the ball. They didn't run a ball against Cincinnati when they could have. They just abandoned the run. They need to put him in the game and let him do what he does best, which is run people over. And that will help Ben and the offense a lot more than what they have right now. For that reason, I think Chicago goes into Pittsburgh Sunday night and whoops them. Whoops them like they stole something. And like Ryan Clark said, if they keep playing like that, they won't win one game this year. That's what the free safety said. The free safety, Ryan Clark, one of the best players at the position in the NFL, which he would have said with the Redskins, but we're dumb too. But he said this. He's a leader on that team. So with that being said, I'm definitely picking Chicago, and I'm picking them in a big way. Come on, Rick.
I'm going to repeat something that I said during the preseason when we were talking about this division. Todd Haley's a bum. His offensive play calling is trash. It was trash in Kansas City. It's trash in Pittsburgh. And Roethlisberger has a reason to be mad. He has a reason. They're going to lose this game. I'm not going to say they're going to lose it in a big way, because you see some type of semblance going on. They do get Heath Miller back this week, which will be a plus because he has somebody to check down to. But at the same time, I just don't have confidence in the calls that Todd Haley does. Todd Haley's not a good offensive coordinator to me. I've got to go with I'm going to go with Chicago. They win it by a touchdown, but that defense is going to startle Jay Cutler because, you know, Cutler's prone to some mistakes. He's prone to some. And Polamalu is he's kind of running rampant in these first two games. So, but Chicago wins.
Well, I'm going to go against the grain here. I think pride kicks in. I think playing in Pittsburgh against a, I wouldn't say shaky, but a inconsistent until they prove differently offense in Chicago, especially Jay Cutler. You never know what kind of Cutler you're going to get.
Never do.
From game to game. I'm going to say that Pittsburgh comes back and gets their first win at home.
Jerry, you're tripping. That's all I got to say.
Okay. Remember you said that when we come back, when we visit here next week and Pittsburgh won their first game.
Oh, my goodness. If they
win next week. Hold on. Next week, Pittsburgh takes on Minnesota. So if they're winning this week.
Wait, is it in Minnesota or in Pittsburgh?
They're in Minnesota. But I guarantee you they won't. There'll be nothing wrong in week five because they have a bye week. But I don't think they win. Honestly, I don't think they win this week or next week. But let's go to the last game of the weekend. And it happens to be in Denver, Mile High, where Mr. Pryor, and again, this is that option that the Raiders need. They need that quarterback to do the read option with Darren McFadden. If you notice, McFadden quietly has done well. Quietly, he has done well. And the Raiders, they're not looking too bad. They lead the NFL with sacks. They have 9 sacks by 7 different people. And with the left tackle troubles of Baltimore, that isn't bowl well. They brought in Winston, a former Houston Texans tackle, to take Clay's place. And they're going to try to shuffle around that offensive line a little bit. But that spells trouble versus a team that knows how to rush the passer and has a quarterback that does the read option really well. Now, I contest that Pryor is a terrible passer, especially in the NFL. But he gives them that option. No Von Miller. What's my guy that's in Baltimore now? No Doomerville. They've got a good defense in them. They do. But I contest that Oakland is going to give them a hard game. They always do. Always do. And when you add in the fact that they run the read option with Pryor and McFadden, and Denarius Moore can go downfield, do an in cut, whatever he's going to do, it spells trouble, especially if Champ Bailey doesn't play again. Dominique Rodgers Cromartie is still a very good cornerback, but he can't cover the whole field. He can't. Ichirio, whatever his name is, that safety, he's pretty good too, but he's questionable. So what I'm saying is to say that Denver will win the game, but it's not going to be the laugher that some people think just because Manny's going to throw for 400 yards. So that's my say on that, and I'm picking Denver. Rick, take it.
Well, I'm gonna take a page from the master plan, which is on sale right now for $9.99. You guys go pick it up. This guy, and this is one of the few names I have a problem with, so I call him Nacho Libre. That's what I call him, the guy from Denver. That's just his name, Nacho Libre. Champ will be back this week, and that's going to cause Mr. Pryor to do a lot of running, which Denver is going to have a problem with. Like you said, Vic, McFadden had a good game last week. He showed up. he can keep that going. And I really think that Oakland pulls this out by 3 points just because of the simple fact that this is going to be defense versus defense. I think the Raiders' defense is the one that's going to prevail, though, because they have a surprise team all around. They're not ready for the read option of Terrell Pryor, even though Terrell Pryor, he's not an accurate quarterback. But he's a threat, just like you say. McFadden, he's a threat, period. He can catch it out the backfield. He can break an 80-yarder on you if he wants to. He can block. They have a decent tight end. And the receivers, I'm not going to say I hate them. I dislike them because they really just can't catch. That's the way I look at it. But it's going to be a good game because it's an AFC West game, and this is like a strong division right now. I think that the Raiders can pull this game off.
Oh,
I'm definitely going with the Raiders this week.
Really?
I know. That's Peyton. I love Peyton. You guys know I'm a Peyton fan, but I think the Raiders can do this.
In Denver? You must be.
Didn't they split last year? They split last year, right?
No.
No,
they
didn't think about that.
Okay, well, either way, Vic said it, though. They play, when it's a division game, this division plays tough.
Yeah,
I
know
they
that.
Play tough. So yeah. I really think the Raiders can pull this out, and especially after watching that little piece on Terrell Pryor about, what was it, a couple of days ago on NFL Network. I think they can win this.
Okay.
Well, Rich, I will give you credit for sticking to your guns because early on when we did AFC West, you did say that Denver was going to split with all of the AFC West teams. So you're sticking with your guns. So I give you credit for that.
Yeah, I'm serious. That's how they do every division. But Denver, they're going to lose at least one.
Okay, well, I hate to hear that you have such a bad case of sleep deprivation that it's affecting your thinking.
But
I don't think Denver goes into Oakland goes into Denver with high hopes and they get crushed in Denver with all those options that Denver has. I can't see any reason why. Maybe if they were playing in Oakland, I could see it. But they're playing in Mile High on Monday Night Football. I don't think so. And think they're going to score on them early and often. And I think there will be no problem with them beating their division rival by a couple touchdowns in this game.
Okay, I mean, I can see that happen, and I agree with you, Jay. It's not rocket science here. Manny's going to throw the ball. Bebe's going to catch it. Decker's going to catch it. Thomas is going to catch it. And you know Wes Walker's going to catch it. Only question here is, are they going to keep Sean Marino in as the feature back? Are they going to let Hillman and Ball, you know, do a little something? I don't know. I really don't. I do
Tune in tomorrow because I have something for this game also.
That's wonderful for you. But I think that Noshon, he's the veteran. He's the guy that Peyton trusts. So as long as Peyton trusts him, he's going to get the ball. Now, I see that Monty Ball is getting goal line touches, which is fine. I think that's a good thing because at least he's going to have an opportunity, but other than that, I don't know what's going on.
Tune in tomorrow. I have something for this game.
Tune in tomorrow.
See, I'm gonna have to go to sleep early. I'm gonna have to tune in.
All right, well, go around the world, ladies and gentlemen, as we end this show, we're gonna start with the sleepy one. We're gonna go to JT, and then we're gonna finish with me.
Well, Victor, I'll be waiting for my next donation next week.
Really? Really? I'm glad you said
that. I'll be waiting. Hey, I know Black, this is what I do want to say. I pitched Black a trade. I just want you guys' opinion on this now.
Oh, boy, here we go.
I pitched Jerry a trade, too.
Here we go.
Jerry didn't respond, but I expect that from Jerry.
Yes, I did.
No.
I responded.
Did you? Okay, well, either way, it didn't get accepted. But I pitched Black a trade. I told this man I would give him Matt Ryan for RG3. Now, what would you do?
Say that again. What was the trade?
Matt Ryan. This is a straight-up quarterback trade. Matt Ryan for RG3.
In what league?
In the Parlay Palace.
In the Palace.
Here
he goes. I am 2-0 over there, by the way.
That's
fine. First game I won was against the quote-unquote champion, Whoopee.
I'm glad you understood who you faced.
Matt Ryan now for RG3. What would you do? What would you do, Vic?
Right now?
I would have took Matt Ryan.
Based upon, this is why I would have did it. I would have took Matt Ryan because the Skins have a bye week 5. And that's when they're going to start working out the kinks and how to get him involved. Because
right now,
you can't, he does not throw the way he threw before. He's not putting pressure on his front leg. I'm saying I call him run plays for him, but when he is running, it's not that good. The threat of him running is not that good, and he's not as accurate as a passer as he could be if he just used his basic mechanics, which is throw off his front foot, you know, lean into the pass, stuff like that. He's worried about his foot. Matt Ryan, you know he's going to throw the ball 30 times a game, and the weapons he has are better. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still a very good quarterback, but at this stage where I've seen what he can do and what he can't do, I'd go with Ike. That's what I would do.
Now, because you answered that, I'll give you a bonus question, but it won't be until I hear what Jerry has to say.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Ryan for RG3.
Wow. Right now, I would say Matt Ryan. But looking long-term, I would probably say RG3 because I think he's going to get progressively better. But Matt Ryan's got, well, just like Vic said, he's got more options. Offensive threats. I guess that name... And that's what people fall into, the name of RG3.
It's the name. Yeah,
And wow. I probably would have went for that trade.
Now, you get the bonus question also, but I want Vic to answer this first. This is a trade I proposed to the master. Tony Romo. For RG3, what would you do, Vic? What would you do?
I mean, it seems though I'm a Redskin fan, it would be difficult for me to swap my quarterback for Romo. However, again, I'm looking at options. Who has the better options? And the better option is Tony Romo right now because you know he's going to throw the ball a lot. You know he has a reliable target.
He's the stat fantasy quarterback of the decade right now.
Well, I'm looking at the league that you offered this trade in, and you
which
you
was,
canceled.
I think it was Vic's league.
Yeah, and you canceled the trade. I didn't reject it. You canceled the trade.
You know why? I have a habit of when I put the trade up, I'm on here every day. I'm not gonna lie. That's why Vic gave me that little beer cozy when we went out there to the live draft. And I'm gonna put that on my Facebook page. He gave everybody beer cozy, and they had little sayings on the back, and mine said waiver wire hawk. So I put a trade out there, and I leave it out there for a day because I'm always constantly looking at the wire to see what I can see. And if I see something on the wire I can get, it doesn't take me long. I just go ahead and get it. Like right now in Vic's league, what we have, $100 budget?
Yeah.
You know, I only got like $38 left. And this is week three right now.
Oh, boy.
This is nothing new to me. I did this in Yahoo before. I was like out there the last 4 weeks with a buck. But this is just what I do. But I don't leave trades up there for like more than a day. So that's the only reason I snapped it off of there. But I was just wondering.
All I wanted to know. Yeah, that's all I had. Other than that, Vic, thanks for the donations. You know, little man, he'll thank you. We'll send you a card
really
at Christmas.
You really think you're going to you had that 25. You had that 25 because it could have been 125.
Vic, I'm going to turn that. I'm going to turn it into a triple digit. I guarantee you that.
I really don't think so. But I'll tell you what, though. All the trash you talk is going to kick you in the face when it's time to pay up for me. So all
right.
Just remember, all the trash you didn't talk.
All right.
You know, humble pie. Humble pie.
I think The Rock is making another Scorpion movie.
Hey, Rick, just remember this. Never humble. Always talking.
That's right.
Hey,
straight from the master plan, folks. If you're listening to Overtime, like I said, you can get it for $9.99. Come on, there.
Thanks for selling the show, even though it's not for sale. I would like to sell it, but that's not happening.
Not the show. Just the book. The book is where it's at, baby.
Oh.
Just for your edification, Mr. Rick.
Yeah.
Tony Romo's first week was 47. His second week was 36. RG3 was 46 the first week, 52 the second.
Hey, I understand. I told you guys in the preseason. I think that RG3, he's going to throw for 5,000. I told you that.
Hey,
they're running a big package.
No, dude, you know why he's probably going to do that? Because they're in a two-minute offense all the time. They can't do anything in the first quarter, so they have no choice but to come out forward in the second quarter. That's why. And
no,
if they kick the problem in the first, that's not why. So you're telling me?
No.
So what you're telling me is that they're throwing offense now.
Vic, look at the pedigree that they're running with. You have Mike Shanahan, who has he's coached Steve Young, he's coached John Elway, he's coached Jake the Snake, he's coached Jay Cutler, he's coached basically quarterbacks that have consistently thrown the ball. You have Kyle Shanahan, who has coached Matt Schaub, who is still, they're still running that offense. That's the thing that I keep telling a lot of people. The base package is that offense that Houston runs. They're teaching this guy how to be a pocket quarterback. That's all they're doing. They're teaching him. He has accuracy like quarterbacks of the past. They're teaching him how to do it.
And once they teach him that, by the time everything comes together, which probably is going to be week 8, week 9, he's going to have that confidence as to where he can say, okay, it's time to scramble when I'm ready to scramble. He's going to show you a little flash here, a little flash there. But by that time, remember, last year he threw how many touchdowns? 20? 20 touchdowns, 5 picks. He's already got 3 picks, but he's got 5 touchdowns. All he needs is 15 more. Yeah, he may be playing in catch-up, but he's going to break that with no problem. He threw for 3,200 yards last year total off of 14, let's say 14 games, because he missed 2. So far, he has what? 700 yards?
That's not the crux. The crux is that the guy is playing catch-up in the second half. And he even said it. He even said it during his press conference. We need to stop with the two-minute offense and get our basic run game together in the first half. So
you can't get it together if your defense ain't playing.
Well, you know, that's the problem. But if the offense isn't doing anything, they can't do anything either. But go ahead. We wasted too much time on your little 1 minute. We need to go to Jerry because I got to get out of here.
Okay. Let me first of all say, Vic, good luck in the fantasy baseball. I see you are leading there for now. I hope we meet in the playoffs so I can dust your ass off again in that. tune in tomorrow for the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for the Master Plan, where I'm going to be revealing some juicy guys to pick up that a lot of people are not paying attention to. There's some teams out there with players that are on the edge of maybe not playing, that they have little budding stars waiting to play that are sitting back there. Tune in because I have a few of them that I think are going to show themselves this weekend.
Just give me one name, Jerry. Just one name.
You have to tune in tomorrow, man. You have to tune in tomorrow because there's really one guy I really like. And I think he's going to do a little bit tomorrow. I really like this kid.
Just give me the initials. You know I'll find
some kid is do nothing.
I'm not giving
you. Give me the initials.
Tune in tomorrow.
He plays for one of the 32 teams, right?
Exactly. Exactly, yes. Exactly.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Ladies and gentlemen, we got to get out of here. I want to thank you guys for listening to Basketball Deposit Saturday Edition. Again, we're here every Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Then on Sundays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, you've got the Master Plan with Jason A.T.M. Taylor. On Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you have Sylvia Crawley with Time Out. Then on Thursdays, you have FSP Crew Show. Those are my guys, Jeff Black and Jerry, holding it down, live in person, doing what we do because we do it for you, just before the game or during the game. Then
we have
on,
a boxing guest, too.
You got a boxing guest coming up. Who's the boxing guest?
I forget the guy's name, but Black told me when we were on the show last Thursday who the guy was, and I forget his name. He's been a prior guest, so and he's a return guest. So.
All right. Well, we got a returning guest coming on to talk about his adventures in the ring and upcoming matches. Then on Friday again, you got the return of Mac, and he's going to be. Co-hosted by JT ATM Taylor,
going to
be talking about God knows what. I have no idea.
God knows what. I've been sparring over the last few weeks waiting for this. Waiting for this one.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy's
now,
right.
Now, next week we're going to do FSP on Saturday. Next week I got 4 days. I've been trying to get my friends, somebody, to either come hang out with me up here or somebody to not hang out with them down there. So I can beat them in Madden, or I can do whatever. But none of them want to come get me. It's okay. One of them's on the line, but I ain't going to say no names.
Well, Ricky. I can't. Vic, I haven't played Madden since 2009.
It don't matter.
It does, because I'm not going to just get dusted in Madden just so you can get on here and be, oh, this guy sucks. Please, I'm not going to do that. Why?
Okay.
I'm up right now.
You know you like doing that, Rick. You know you like taking advantage of people. You know that, right?
You know, while I got the upper hand right now and he's paying for my lunch, I'm going to keep this upper hand.
Hey, I'm glad you can take $25 and stretch $25 over 3 weeks. That's, I'm very proud of you. I'm very proud of you.
$25 now, over 16 weeks if you want.
You're going to have to. You're going to have
enjoy
to
your game.
Give back a lot more.
Enjoy your game.
A lot more. So anyway, next Saturday, I'll be here, whether I'll be right now doing school or somewhere I'll be doing so with J.D. Money. Get down. We're stopping by, and we know we're going to go to sleep. So, with that being said, JT, ATM Money,